Welcome to AI to AI, that is Appreciative Inquiry to Artificial Intelligence, a podcast series exploring the significance of appreciative inquiry, talent management, ethics and governance in the AI era, coaching-driven habit formation, creativity and adaptability. In today's fast-paced, technology-driven world, organizations must evolve quickly to remain competitive. While many focus on fixing problems, appreciative inquiry shifts the approach to identifying strengths and building on what already works. Combined with real-time strategic change, this enables organizations to make swift, collective decisions while engaging all levels, resulting in lasting transformation. Let me share a small anecdote registered in my mind. During a visit to a Titan watch dealership, I overheard a sales manager during a training session remark, "In Tata companies, you can negotiate targets, but ethics and governance are non-negotiable." In a different context, Sangeet Paul Chaudhary, a platform technology expert, suggests in his book regarding the evolving nature of employment and skill requirements in the age of platformization. As businesses increasingly adopt platform models, it is crucial to implement strong governance to ensure fair remuneration, recognition, and well-being for all employees, whether they are permanent, contract, full-time, part-time, gig workers, or freelancers. Leading organizations must set an example and establish these standards with or without regulatory frameworks in place. Moreover, as artificial intelligence rapidly advances in automating complex tasks, concerns are growing around delegating critical life and death decisions to machines. From Kant to Mill, philosophers have long debated the ethical implications of such decisions, and now these debates are more relevant than ever. Joseph Badaracco, a business ethics professor, advises leaders to rigorously question the ethics of AI, avoid rushing products to market, and take a responsible, collaborative approach to ensure the ethical deployment of AI technologies. Today, I am joined by Rajesh Dahiya, a seasoned HR professional and a visionary CEO.
India, generally, is a very good adopter. We may not be a great innovator of technology. We are very good at adoption. And in a way, it's also good because we end up learning from other people's mistake. And hence, the usage is much more refined in any technology, whether you call today's technology of AI or in the past when we spoke of internet. And these got complemented by the whole startup which was coming in shape of fintechs, were really fast on their feet to adopt possibly every new technology as it became available globally.
Rajesh is the founder and CEO of Good Govern, a company dedicated to driving impactful change through the implementation of best governance practices. Rajesh is on a mission to raise the level of transparency, accountability, and sustainability within Business India. With over 3 decades of experience across various industries and business functions, Rajesh has established himself as a seasoned general management professional. He currently serves on the boards of Max Life Insurance, Bluestone, and Caliber Chemicals, and is a trustee of the Axis Bank Foundation. His past board roles include serving on the boards of Axis Trustee Services Limited, Axis Finance Limited, and Axis PE. In addition to his corporate governance work, Rajesh is deeply involved in the ESG space. He is a member of the SES Governance ESG Advisory Board, the CII Climate Change Council, and sits on the advisory councils of the Buddha Institute and the Grameen Foundation India. Rajesh's career also includes a significant tenure with Axis Bank, where he served as Executive Director of Corporate Affairs and was responsible for overseeing all corporate functions until December 2021. Before that, he spent 20 years with the Tata Group, where he took on various leadership roles, starting with Rallis India Limited and later heading Tata Administrative Services. He also worked with Tata Global Beverages, driving the integration of global business and products into a unified supply chain. In today's episode, I'll be gaining his insights on what role does senior leaders and HR play in developing a workplace culture that prioritizes ethics and trust, especially while integrating new technologies. Now on to this insightful conversation with Rajesh Dahiya.
Hello, Mr. Rajesh Dahiya.
Good morning, Sanjay. Good morning. It's wonderful to meet you after some time.
Yes, pleasure. Always. Welcome to my podcast series, AI to AI, or Appreciative Inquiry to Artificial Intelligence. First of all, I extend my heartfelt thanks for joining me on this episode.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you, Rajesh. Thanks a lot. You have very illustrious career in chemical, beverage and financial sectors. Today, you are on the board of many companies. So, Rajesh, we would like to understand, get your insight that, you know, how Indian companies are implementing the technology, so to speak. By technology, I mean the modern days technology like artificial intelligence, robots and all that. And you have worked in finance environment. Okay, so it would be great to know specifically that, you know, how these finance companies in particular, they are implementing in all these things. If you could take us through that.
Yeah. So I'll try to reflect on my experience and share with you. One view I have is India generally is a very good adopter. We may not be a great innovator of technology. We are very good at adoption. And in a way, it's also good because we end up learning from other people's mistake. And hence, the usage is much more refined in any technology, whether you call today's technology of AI or in the past when we spoke of internet. However, when you say in India, then the things are average of various industries. As you rightly pointed out, banks and financial services. And these got complemented by the whole startup which was coming in shape of fintechs, were really fast on their feet to adopt possibly every new technology as it became available globally. We are now 2 years or 3 years down the line. COVID actually gave it a fillip. And now we are finding many more meaningful usages of technology. And again, I am repeating, India is adopting these very well. Biopharma is one industry which has huge scope to benefit from when you use the word AI. Healthcare generally and retail is another industry which is making use of data, and through use of data, entertainment is another. So some of the industries are doing really very well, helped by the large IT companies. Some places, because the complexity of processes, and I take manufacturing, you spoke about my experience of chemicals. While ultimately chemical industry, manufacturing industry benefits in terms of efficiency, but the implementation there is a bit slower because you need to, at one end there is a regulation, at second end there is a ensuring that you don't experiment with something which is not safe for human beings.
Right. So, I mean, well said. Actually, I was going through an article, and this article suggests that in Silicon Valley, people are now shifting from SaaS model, which is a software as service model, to service as software model kind of thing. So, where, you know, these Silicon Valley people, they are saying that how can we automate these services? So up to this, it is fine. But what is really scary that in the same breath in that article, they are talking about replacing the human job. So I'm a bit scared. And in that background, I would like to understand from you that how can organization ensure that fast technological growth, especially in AI, is pursued without compromising the human aspect, the ethical standard and trust.
So Sanjay, think from innovator's point of view. Think from the process of creator. I don't think innovation will be happy. Innovators will be happy in case they are bound by constraints of what it may replace, what may be the cost on other industries, what may be the cost of human jobs. So innovation by the nature itself is heartless. And that's where the new things get created. When somebody first designed a car, the same question could have come, what will happen
very
to
interesting. Horses? Very, very interesting. Yeah, please go on. Yeah.
So this is, I think, inbuilt into the process of innovation and creation. Second is history. If you look at human history, right from last 150 years, these fears were there when we started our career. I remember dealing with multiple strikes from the workers because we were getting newer technologies, and workers used to feel that they will lose their jobs.
Right.
Even a simple thing like a more modern boiler, which required just 3 people to operate, against the 16 that were earlier working, resulted into a strike. Question to us as professionals is, do we stop, do we mend, or do we find different ways where jobs don't go away, but jobs get the whole morphing of the jobs becomes such that people end up doing something which is more meaningful. My personal belief is mechanical processes, drudgery-driven work, repetitive work, and we hear about all of these in IT and in banking, that definitely will get streamlined. Technology has huge potential to automate that. But at the same time, the real customer service, the ethical selling.
Right.
Some of these things which companies were not able to really devote time to will get more attention.
Right.
Once the technology become all pervasive, all companies will have the same technology available. The differentiator will be the human factor.
True.
So, one can't predict where it will go. But my sense is we cannot worry too much about it.
Okay. So, I mean, what I learned from you, and please correct me if I'm... So, what you're saying that the actual holistic sort of, growth lies in striking the fine balance between the innovation and also the human aspect, so to speak. But then in that case, organizations should continuously work to cultivate the right culture, isn't it? Because people, as you shared from your experience, that workers were resistant, sense that they might lose job. So the building culture becomes very, very important. And building culture to sort of, stay sort of, have trust among people, stay ethical and all that would be also very, very critical. So what role HR should play, or you have from your experience, you have seen HR playing, to building such kind of culture in the organization?
Yeah. Let me break this whole issue in two parts. One is our audit processes today that we use in our companies are decades old. They are very mature. Those are run by highly qualified people, but mistakes do happen. We have seen companies going wrong. So as the new technology comes, as AI comes, how fast and how deeply integrated into the usage, the governance process are going to be is very important. I know of cases like UK, for that matter, has a committee at the government level which is deeply thinking about creating a code of conduct of a governance of AI.
Wow, great.
And then once that comes into the play, then there will be some kind of a control of the users, both user customer and user providers. So governance is going to become very, very important when we start using the new technology. It's not easy. There are dilemmas, human dilemmas, which have no answer. But ultimately, best learning comes from using, experiencing, learning from each other. So that will happen.
Right.
When I say governance and when you use the word ethics, in my mind, both go hand in hand. I use the word code of conduct. So if I look at all this together, yes, technology has to be ethical. And ethical is not in terms of what's good for whom. There'll be multiple questions. Is it transparent? Does the customer know what this technology is going to do? Is it trustworthy? I don't want my computer to calm down right now because that will come in the way of our discussion. It's very important that my machine is very trustworthy.
Right.
And same will apply to the new technologies also. And then you use the word ethical. Yes, it should be available to all. It should be inclusive. It cannot have biases which make it more available to one kind of people and less available to other kind of people.
Right.
It will have to follow the principles of equality, and hence the design and its governance will have to be of that manner. And that's where your question about HR comes into play.
Right.
People like you have done so much of work on culture, and all of us know it doesn't happen one day. Especially in today's world where companies are running with attrition of 50 to 60%.
Right.
Whose culture are we talking about? The culture that is going away, the culture that is leaking, is much bigger than the culture that we try to build. Yes, all these things will have to be, HR will have to rethink its own models of creating culture, creating ethical standards, ethical behaviors, and it has to be at the same pace as the businesses that are adopting those technologies. It cannot have a lag. It cannot be that, yes, let's first implement something and then we'll think of culture.
So very well said. Yeah.
It's a big task in front of HR professionals. But I'm sure, like every other technology, people will stand up and be counted.
Right.
Let us take a short break. When we come back from the break,
the definition of employee is also undergoing very interesting change. So now we have gig worker, we have freelancers, we have part-time employees. So, you know, it is becoming, if not messy, very complex, so to speak. So what would be the role of leader to encourage all kind of employees to embrace the innovation while maintaining, you know, all these values?
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. Let us dive right back into the episode.
In fact, you know, given the way platformization of businesses are happening, all these entrepreneurs are trying to organize the unorganized industry, and where there is a humongous opportunity as well. The definition of employee is also undergoing very interesting change. So now we have gig worker, we have freelancers, we have part-time employees. So, you know, it is becoming, if not messy, very complex, so to speak. So what would be the role of leader to encourage all kind of employees to embrace the innovation while maintaining, you know, all these values which you talked about, trust, ethics, etc.?
No, I think you're asking a question which is at the core of how the and COVID, when we started working overnight from home,
right,
did throw lots of challenges in terms of not everyone was able to trust their own employees overnight. There used to be a question that are people really committing to work the way they will do at the workplace or not. One is, let's take a, I always, whenever a tough question comes, I start looking at real life. All of us have grown as young children. All of us have today children who are growing up. We have friends and families, and each people are unique in their own belief. Many of it comes from their family belief. Many of it comes from social beliefs. But when we interact socially, largely we tend to have a code of conduct which is acceptable.
Right.
Think right. of a large society in a city like Bombay, where thousands of people live. Somehow we find a way to deal with each other in a manner which is respectful and is not disruptive. Not that we live together. People live in different houses. Some of the people meet only in the lift or maybe once in a year.
Right.
I think same is going to be true about this new world where people may not be under the same roof, but will have the same purpose. And that's where, again, I'm repeating the role of HR, that are you, first of all, defining a purpose which is commonly understood by everybody engaged, whether a gig worker or a temporary worker or the reason why these people are engaging with a company. Once that becomes clear, then the fear of whether these people will have different thinking or not will reduce to a great extent.
Great. Well, so yes, very well said. Very well said. So tell me, like, you know, if I ask you that what are the leadership qualities you would be kind of, you know, looking for in a leader at a CEO level to sort of ensure that the fine balance between innovation-led growth and the human approach, both are sort of maintained.
So I don't think whatever leadership qualities have got us here will always remain the key leadership qualities that everybody requires. We will not be dropping one and adopting a new one. So that's very clear. Integrity and communication and fairness, the trust building, ethical behavior, walk the talk, all these will remain. What may get added sometimes, and which was, I'm not saying which is a need of today, it was always a gap. If you go back our careers, as we grew senior, we started thinking that learning is not for me, it is for my team members. Very few leaders used to devote their time to learning processes. That's going to change. You cannot be a CEO or CXO unless your learning curve is at pace with how the world is changing.
Right, right.
If you are going to implement AI in your organization, and in case you have 100,000 employees, you better be the best equipped in terms of its understanding, both in theoretical terms and in practical terms. Otherwise, you can't leave. Yeah, so this, and I'm happy to see that this change was always needed, but now it will be forced.
Right. Why I'm actually, you know, I'm coming back to this question on and on is, well, Yuval Harari, in one of his books, he says that, you know, given the technological growth, the way technology is kind of leading the growth, after some time, we will have two classes of people. One will be Homo Deus, and the other people will be useless class. Okay. So in that kind of, and God forbid, I mean, we never kind of come to that kind of situation. But in that kind of society, how to prevent that such kind of mindsets are not created? What HR should do? I mean, how to sort of, you know, during hiring time or, you know, grooming the leader, what they should ensure?
So we should believe in change. And we've been using this in different forums that the most basic nature of human beings is their desire change.
Yes.
And the entire development that we're seeing around us is coming from that one basic nature human beings have. And it has not started today. It started when millions of years back.
Right.
So, however, we don't respect the change in the short term. We always believe that after 100 years, when my kids grow up, there may be planes or drones which will come there and pick them up to school and something will be there. We don't see we don't prepare people for incremental change. That's something that needs to be done to make sure that people start, rather than accepting, people should start respecting change. And the moment you start respecting change, then you will equip yourself. And again, God has given us enough capabilities to be prepared for that change. And that's where, how do you do away with uselessness? Is by finding ways to be useful always.
Okay.
I don't think we have to go to the extreme of that there'll be only two kind of people. there will always be a layer of people, and each layer finds its own way to survive differently. That classical example that in case for 7 days, electricity shut down, it will be people like you and me, and it will be the Valley and the Bangalore, which will suffer the most. Whereas my grandfather who lives in a village, I don't think he's going to bother even for a moment.
Very well said.
I don't call people advantageous or disadvantageous in that sense. But respecting change as it happens prepares you better. Whatever is going to happen by use of technology, by use of innovation. And the positive side is huge. I am so excited about the pharma opportunity for AI. Is something which, first of all, it will bring down the cost. It will make healthcare available to poorest of poor.
Right.
Today, we live in a dual world.
Mm-hmm.
I work on lots of impact sector companies. And most of our poor are one disease away from extreme poverty. One disease in the family and one disease which costs 20, 25,000, 40,000 rupees can drain their resources of years altogether. I don't think that's the world we deserve. We need to improve. Yes. And AI is going to do that.
Yes.
That inclusiveness is the biggest positive that I look at coming through technology. And that's what HR, that's what leaders, that's what CEO should be focusing on.
Great. So that inclusiveness would be very, very important parameter. This is my takeaway. I mean, we can't sort of, you know, ignore the technology because, I mean, company can in today's time ignore technology at its own peril only because the kind of benefit technology provide. But, you know, let me tell you that as goes my observation and experience, the entrepreneur particularly, who are trying to organize the unorganized with all noble purposes, so to speak. They're also under tremendous pressure by their investors, so to speak, the people who have put their money to deliver the result yesterday, rather. Okay. And so, you know, it becomes sort of, you know, difficult for them to strike that balance between the growth aspect and the inclusiveness aspect, the human aspect and all that. So greed actually, you know, takes the front seat, so to speak. So I would like to get your insight. I mean, again,
I completely resonate with what you're saying. I work in the field of ESG and I've seen, so let's take a company, both of us know, Tata Motors has more than 14,000 meaningful vendors. Meaningful, I'm saying. If you take the suppliers of those vendors, then the number will run into hundreds of thousands.
Right.
And we were talking about implementation of ESG, sustainability efforts there. The management got convinced that without their investment into their vendors, it will not happen. A small vendor who's doing 10 crore or 15 crore turnover is unable to invest in some of these initiatives because they don't have resources. So the option to a large company today is either get left out or make sure that you include everybody who's in, dependent on you in the journey. And that has to come through regulation. That's what the governments are for.
Yeah, true.
Government must ensure there is a level playing field.
Yes.
Irrespective of the size or irrespective of the resources people may have.
True.
There is no other, and it has happened in the past. We have seen the best of the companies always invest in not only its employees, but educating customers.
True.
We in the banking industry spend so much of our resources in educating our customers about cyber frauds, about telecalling frauds, because ultimately we don't want a bad name for our institute.
Right.
Customer may not be interested, but we have to keep on investing. So, government will have to play a slightly more pushy role. Regulators will have to come into play, and the big brother will have to share some load from the younger ones.
Very well said. Very well said. Thanks. I mean, it was very, really, very, very insightful discussion. You know, you brought a very practical kind of, you know, angle to sort of, you know, while responding to my questions. So that was the unique thing, I would say. And, you know, such kind of practical, simple things kind of, you know, help people to understand the concept very easily, so to speak. So thanks for that. Thanks for your valuable time. We have come to the end, towards the end of our conversation. Anything you'd like to say at the end, or else we can close the discussion?
No, I think what you mentioned is leaders, professionals have tendency to make things look complex, but the real need is to simplify. Anybody can make a very complex issue, but the charm is in making things simple. You asked about learning leadership qualities. AI cannot succeed unless there are simplification of processes on which AI will sit. You cannot make AI or robotics sit on a very complex process and then expect it to do. So underlying processes, underlying thinking, underlying behaviors, more you simplify, more you make people understand in a manner that's their day-to-day working, the faster success we'll have.
Superb.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
I mean, let me tell you, I know you as a real leader who has this uniqueness of simplicity. You relate the things with practical aspect. It becomes really easier to sort of understand the things. And you talk, you know, out of your experience, out of your conviction, not, I mean, the abstract concept. That is you. So thanks, Rajesh.
Thank you so
and
much.
We'll close the conversation now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to my podcast, AI to AI, where we explore the significance of process excellence and people excellence in the age of artificial intelligence. If you like this episode, give us a thumbs up in your favorite podcast app and do subscribe to continue listening to upcoming episodes with industry experts such as K. Ramkumar, Praveer Jha and Birendra Kumar Tiwari. Feel free to connect with me through my website at www.sn10x.in and on LinkedIn, where you can find me under the tagline Molding Metal to Molding Minds.